Hi guys, this is Ruben Langdon. You're listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. Shoryuken!
It's time. Talk time. Let's go. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Live. Started in the 80s with Matt Cross. Dudes in the hood might have called that soft, but I carried that cross like Jesus did. Fast forward, I teach the kids to learn how to let go, live life, and show love to all things that don't matter where y'all from. And luckily, there's a show called Talk Time. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Dax kicks the facts on all the geek news. Special guests and unbiased reviews. Suburban kids, the hipster street dudes all can learn something new. Me too. I heard words when no faith is empty. I stayed the course, though my haters tempt me. Beep the podcast, that'll make them envy. It ain't too trendy, it's ACMG. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Live.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the special. And it's a special because, well, lo and behold, I didn't get a chance to do one this weekend because I was away. You know, I was at my in-laws for Fairfax, Virginia. We got a chance to spend time with them, so I couldn't do the show. But I felt this episode that I was going to do anyway was extremely important that I had to do an extra one. So we're still going to get the Infinity Wars review on Sunday, but this had to be talked about because we're going to revisit the original Infinity Gauntlet, the saga that brought us 10 years, inspired 10 years of great Marvel cinematic movies. And not only that, this was the final week of the Marvel Cinematic Challenge, the movie challenge that we were doing at the ACMG Facebook group. From January on, 17 weeks, we got to watch one movie per week, chronological order, by release date. Every movie that Marvel has done, that Marvel Studios has done up until this point. And lo and behold, whoever came up with the calculations and figured this out, genius. Because it in fact is. This was the final week and Thor Ragnarok was the final movie to watch. So I got a chance to revisit every single movie since January, the first week of January on, and enjoyed every minute of it. And I got to tell you, and I said this before, but I really do wish that all the Thor movies was like Thor Ragnarok was as fun as Thor Ragnarok, because it really was a lot of fun to watch. And that's not saying anything. I thought the first two were great, of course, but this one in general was just it took the cake. It was they saved the best for last, pretty much. So it was a lot of fun to watch. Third time I watched it too. First time in the theater, second time when I brought the digital, and now this for the countdown. And I didn't miss a beat. I didn't, you know, cheat. I didn't, you know, I was faithful. Trust me, it was hard. It was hard to be faithful and not want to watch ahead some of these movies, but I did it. I feel proud. You know, I feel justified. And now we're going to see the main event, which is, of course, Infinity Wars this week. For some, it's the 26th. The official date, of course, is going to be the 27th of April and going on to the weekend. And we're all going to check it out. Our talk time, you know, post will be up for the ACMG Facebook group. We're going to have a great time checking it out. Or we may be crying a lot, because if it's anything like the original story, there's going to be a lot of deaths. There's going to be a lot of deaths. Now, again, we are revisiting the original Infinity Gauntlet. This entire episode, in fact, there's nothing new in the world of this episode of Talk Time Live. So this is an all talk topic episode. So we're going to go back and look back in, because there's a lot of things we're going to talk about here. The Infinity Gauntlet, ladies and gentlemen. And I know there's some people who have not read this book and don't realize why, from the jump, from day one, and then from Avengers, why this was going to change the face of everything happening and what they were, what Marvel Studios and now Marvel Studios and Disney were planning to do. And it's amazing. From the moment that we saw Thanos at the very end credit of the Avengers, we knew what was going to happen. For those who read the comic book, I was one of the original guys in the theaters that really screamed out, "Oh shit, that's Thanos." And in my mind from there, it was just like all, every other obscenities. And in fact, of like, we know what this means. There's no other reason why Thanos is on here unless they're doing the Infinity Gauntlet. And that's huge. Infinity Gauntlet, for those who don't know, in the 90s, was the epitome of everything that was cool about the 90s boom period of comic books. I mean, we had the X-Men. The Jim Lee Spider-Man was the hottest thing out there. I mean, New Mutants, X-Force. My goodness, Mutants was a huge thing in the 90s. It's along with Spider-Man, the Avengers, the West Coast Avengers. I mean, all this really cool stuff going on in the 90s. I mean, say what you will about some, you know, plot lines and everything, but the artwork was there. Some of the stories were there. We got Venom, which, by the way, we'll talk about that on Sunday because the trailer's out. So I don't want to say too much about it until Sunday when we have our other guest on air as well. So, yeah. But nonetheless, I digress. We did have a lot of stuff going on. And in the culmination of that was the Infinity Gauntlet. So a lot of people don't understand why this is such an important thing and why this people are so excited to get to this point of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, people were even scared, like, am I going to even live long enough to see this? And it looks like we may, knock on wood, just a few days left. We'll see about this. And but it's coming and it's here. But the Infinity Gauntlet was once the biggest crossover, still considered possibly one of the greatest sagas in comic book history, definitely in Marvel history, absolutely in Marvel history, you know, because there is Crisis on Earth and the Crisis sagas for DC, and a lot of people, you know, feel that that's also a big deal too, and it is, but just in general, like, the Infinity Gauntlet, with the McGovern being the gauntlet and the Infinity Gems himself that people were coming after, was such a huge deal, and the abilities of what these gems could do was amazing, and what Thanos has done with it has been outstanding and scary, because for the first time ever in the Marvel Universe, comic book readers felt like didn't know what was going to happen to their favorite characters, that this is possible, that the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe may actually end on this note that is called the Infinity Gauntlet. And this sparked so much terror, both in the story and from the reader's aspect, that it was really, it's like one of, still one of the most epic things. I knew, you know, like they had Original Sin, they had, you know, Fear Itself and Civil War. Civil War is probably the second best saga of Marvel, period. You know, it's definitely, they definitely was, it was the best since Infinity Gauntlet. And then everything else was just like filler, and they just trying to go in too deep into the well with that. But the Infinity Gauntlet was the original crossover, big fame. You know, people are still talking about it. People still make a big deal out of it. The Infinity Gems are still revered by many fans and readers out there. So basically what we're going to do is go over the story. This is especially, by the way, for people who have not read this and need to understand why what this is so important. So we're going to go over a lot of things. We're also going to talk about highlights of what happened in this book. You know, the highlights that I felt, at least, not the highlights, but the highlights that I felt was a big deal in this book. And then also in these books, there were six issues plus a flood of crossovers. We're going to talk about that too, because the crossovers, it was the first time we really did crossovers, possibly in any comic book, if I'm correct. I could be wrong about that. But it also, something I wish they never did, because crossovers can be overwhelming. And it was just them, it was a way for them to try to get us to buy every single book and they profit from it. But lo and behold, not every book was worth getting. It was just like a corny side story, a diluted side story of it, but the main books itself were the ones that were really important, because that's where all the true action was happening and such like that. So, you know, it was just like the crossover is, in this sense, and they still do this to this day, was like, okay, while all this is going on, what is Spider-Man doing on the side? You know, he's checking on Mary Jane, and he's going to the supermarket to get something. That's kind of what the crossovers were. And then he goes back and then meets up with the rest of the gang to try to stop the Thanos. But he's talking about what are the possibilities of going on. That's what the crossover was. So it's like there wasn't anything that was, you know, plot changing or, you know, provocative or anything like that for the crossovers. It wasn't really worth getting. But the main saga's six issues, absolutely epic as hell. So, and then from there, I want to talk about what possibly will not be in this movie based on what the source is. And I'm telling you now, after reading this story, there is a lot that will not be in this book. I mean, some obvious reasons or some legal reasons, but other things is just based on storyline itself, how they went about doing the cinematic universe version of it, because that is their own universe. It's not strictly based on the Earth 616, which, if any of you know, if any of you don't know, actually, the Earth 616 universe is considered the prime universe for Marvel comics, where they have other universes, multiverses or whatever like that, you know, throughout, much like DC does as well. So, yeah, we're going to talk about all that. So the story of the Infinity Gauntlet, basically, Lady Death, she is what she is, she's the Grim Reaper. She sought out to create a balance in the universe after realizing that more people are staying alive than dying, which is disrupting the natural order of the universe, in her opinion. So, in order to fix that, Lady Death brought back Thanos, who I believe was dead at the time, and brought him back to life because she felt he was the perfect, you know, vessel to actually create a balance of chaos to the natural order of things as well, and keeping that, you know, order there. So, lo and behold, she, you know, resurrected Thanos. Thanos went on a journey to do so, but what she probably screwed up on is that she should have gave Thanos, you know, no mind at all to work with her, because he went on his own agenda and felt that he didn't want to be in the command of Lady Death, who he actually is deeply infatuated with, if damn near not in love with her, just for the simple fact. So Thanos loved Death, but he was also chauvinistic as well, extremely chauvinistic. And when it came to, you know, with his depiction of what love was, he loved her, but he had to be the man. He had to be the man in the house. That's pretty much the gist of it. So what he did basically is that he had his own agenda, and he discovered that there are affinity gems all around the universe. So he sought after each affinity gem, much like he's going to do in the, it looks much like he has been doing in the movie, and what he possibly will be doing. No guarantee what he will be doing in Infinity Wars. And he basically is, you know, searching for these and killing off the predecessors or the possessors of the gems. So he's killing every one of them off to gain access to each gem of his own, creating a gauntlet that will hold these gems enough for him to be able to control in his left hand. So, you know, he goes out of his way to, you know, pursue these gems, which will give him power of an omnipotent threat. For those who don't know what omnipotent is, it's just somebody who's just unstoppable, impervious to any pain or death or whatever like that. You just can't do it, which is why, if any of you recall us having our contest called the Mega Fist Tournament, that we tend to say have one of the biggest rules is that you could pick a fantasy team of comic book characters, but none of them cannot be omnipotent whatsoever. One, it just balances out the entire thing and nobody wins, you know, so that doesn't work. And two, it's cheating. It's damn near cheating. It's like, you obviously, why would anybody obviously think I would allow somebody to pick an omnipotent character to be able to play in a contest that's supposed to be even? It doesn't make sense. People kill me with that one, but that's the thing. That's what omnipotent is. Basically, you're unstoppable, impervious to anything, any type of pain or threat or whatever, in practically all of the universe. And he became this when he, you know, collected all the gems not only just becoming omnipotent, but which means he was even more powerful than the Lady Death herself and the Celestials, the Celestial gods in the universe. So, I mean, combining these gems together was the biggest threat in existence, at least from the 616 standpoint. And I say that now because if people have been reading Marvel comic books later on after this event, and they've been reading the multiverse, like the Secret Wars 2, you know that there are different versions of the Infinity Gauntlet, and our particular Infinity Gauntlet for this saga does not work in another universe. That's the way they did it. So it kind of diluted the idea of the omnipotent gems, per se. You know, so that right there, I kind of don't like that because it doesn't make the Infinity Gauntlet as special, but that's the way they roll. So if they take the Infinity Gauntlet to another dimension, it doesn't mean crap. So it's just another object. It's a prop at this point. But during this time, the Infinity Gauntlet was just the biggest thing ever at this point. So other than that, you got the Silver Surfer, who also fought against Thanos when he finally retrieved all the gems. Him and Thrax, and you guys knew Thrax. Drax, the Destroyer from Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, back then, he was not with the Guardians of the Galaxy. In fact, if you see Drax in the original, you know, series and in the 90s, he had a whole new different look. There was no scars or no tattoo marks on him. He wore this really crappy costume with a cape and all the stuff. He was still a numbskull, but it was at least like he didn't look like the Kratos looking version of Drax the Destroyer that we know now, the Batista version of him. So, you know, they did a lot of changes with him. A lot of change. I don't know who made the decision to change his character design, but I like it now. And I even like him now. And they decided not to make him stupid in this case. They just explained that he's just literal with everything, which makes him sound kind of, you know, makes him sound naive to some extent, or ignorant to some extent. And when he's really not, he's just very literal with his dialect. So, you know, those two tried to fight Thanos when he had the power of the Infinity Gauntlet, only to be overthrown by and overwhelmed by his power. And it led to Silver Surfer traveling into Earth desperately to find Doctor Strange. And he found him. He crashed into a sanctum. And that's where the Infinity story goes into situation, where Doctor Strange, you know, he warns Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange tries to, you know, figure out what's going on, and other people in the world start to figure out what's going on, and, you know, Mephisto, of all people, then begins to team up with Thanos, being, he's his Starscream in this case. He literally, Mephisto is Starscream here. One note about Mephisto, I am kind of disappointed. I'm not upset, but I am very surprised and disappointed that he was never added to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I thought they were going to do that with the Netflix series, with Daredevil and the Elektra series, because the Hand was, you know, summoning, you know, somebody from deep and underground, which felt like it was going to be hell or something like that. So, and he also, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. also, they had Ghost Rider, and they brought him in. Like, there's no existence of Mephisto anywhere in the universe right now. So, and that could possibly be because it is connected to maybe more like Silver Surfer than anything. And if that's the case, if it's a character under the Silver Surfer storyline, which is connected to Fox at the time, they probably wouldn't have been able to do that. And that might have been one of the characters. That's my hypothesis on that situation, because there we should have seen that. He was kind of a big figure in the original saga here, and the fact that he wasn't in there to be the assistant to Thanos, or the guide or whatnot, the liaison, if you will, to you know, Mistress Death or Thanos, you know, it's kind of a big deal. I was looking forward to seeing that, and that didn't happen. But it didn't, as little disappointed, but not completely, because again, Marvel Studios have done a great job doing what they have done to get us hyped about what's going to happen. So I am kind of surprised by that. But Mephisto, you know, is guiding them, and all of a sudden it's just like Thanos does his thing. He wipes out half of the universe. People are disappearing, Hawkeye included. And I say that because, you know, online there's a lot of things talking about, you know, a lot of word of where's Hawkeye in this whole thing, because he's not in advertisements, he's not in, you know, other things. And if anybody's read the original books, he wasn't even in the original story. He's like shown in a certain page and panel in a list of many other heroes who disappeared at the hands of Thanos when he snapped his finger. So I'm sorry, people. I mean, I hate to say it, I love the guy too, but he's not, don't be surprised if he's not really necessarily a big, you know, issue. If he even gets seen in Infinity Wars, that's a big deal. So basically, they don't have Hawkeye there, and, you know, but the rest of them are there. Spider-Man, of course, is going to be there. Who else is there? You know, Captain America, Iron Man, Vision, Scarlet Witch, Black Widow is also in the book. You know, I mean, basically everybody is in there with the exception of Thor. Thor is not in this book, and we'll talk about that too as to why he is, but he's not. And we'll talk about that definitely as to why and what happened with that for those who don't know, won't understand, but we'll get down to that. But there were some really amazing highlights going on in the story. And as you're reading, I remember reading it as a teenager, really blew me away. Really blew me away. George Perez, you know, did the art for the first three issues, I think, and then Ron Lim took over. So it was a great blend of, you know, legend to new age, you know, in a sense. And they blended in very well. I've always been a fan of Ron Lim's artwork. George Perez is just, you know, even if you don't prefer the old traditional style of art that he does, it's a matter of respect. You got to respect what he's done. For just comics in general, and I mean, he's awesome. He's absolutely awesome. But Ron Lim, I loved what he did with Cosmic. You know, he drew Cosmic. Him, Arthur Adams, George Perez, when it comes to doing Cosmic, there's none like them. Those are the three top Cosmic beings, and now Rockefeller as well. You got to throw Kenneth Rockefeller in as well for this day and age. I think he does a phenomenal job doing artwork in a cosmic sense. So, you know, he did phenomenal, absolutely great with the Ultimates and the Infinity Gauntlet miniseries that they did for, who was it, the Secret Wars 2. By the way, Secret Wars 2, people can, you know, say what they will, but I think they did possibly some of the best crossovers ever in Marvel history, because, you know, that was a hit or miss, and they were really just throwing some things out there, and there were some really fun crossover titles of remakes of certain things like Infinity Gauntlet, Spider-Man Renew Your Vows, which is now still, you know, publishing right now, and other books, Old Man Logan, stuff like that. They did a great job with that deal. But some of the highlights here that I think really stood out for me in the Infinity Gauntlet here, and we're going to talk about that. From the door, we mentioned Joris Perez. His cover, the infamous, the legendary cover of the Infinity Gauntlet with Thanos' face, the Infinity Gauntlet there, and just highlights of beams just going everywhere, and it's just like a collage of different aspects going on. It's like one of the most beautiful, you know, covers in the history of comics. Absolutely. It just expresses how epic this journey was about to be and what we're about to go through. And it was just amazing. Still to this day, there's not a comic cover out there that can top that George Perez, you know, cover. It feels like the end all be all of anything. You know, and they haven't been able to do a cover like that since. So that right there from the door, you just, you know what you're about to expect from this, just the minute that you see that cover right there. So you have that. Then just opening a book, the first panel that you see with the word God sculpted from the ground up by Thanos, along with Mephisto, who's bowing at his presence at the sight of him doing this. So like I said, he bends reality. He creates reality in his vision. He's at some sort of an asteroid or rock planet formation planet, and he just decides that he wants to create the word God, you know, and sculpt it in rock, and then destroys it. because that's he could do it. That's pretty much it. And it's just utterly amazing. Just right from the door right there, you know what you're about to do. If you know he's about to come at everybody, and you know, throughout the entire first few pages of the first issue, he's just, you know, marveling at his power and what he's been able to accomplish. At the same time, he's realizing that he still has not fulfilled the request of Mistress Death, or Lady Death, for that matter. Mistress Death is pretty much, you know, just scalded at him just because of the fact that, and not paying him any mind, because this is not what she originally wanted. She wanted him to, kill half of the universe to create balance. Instead, he took liberties upon himself, and she is pissed off from that point. So, you know, she's really mad, and he's just mindlessly infatuated with her. He's out his rocker at this point. And, you know, that's just one of the things right there. So it wasn't until the point of that where he's just trying to figure out how to get her affection, and Mephisto's trying to inform her, like, dude, you're not doing her justice right now. So, of course, the Silver Surfer crashing to Doctor Strange's sanctum in dire fear upon the altercation with him, Drax, and Thanos was a big deal. Just the look on his face and him and the dialect of them talking about what's about to happen, which it was a much big deal. Much big deal. And like, Silver Surfer was a big deal in his series too, for this comic. And the other thing is too is Thanos, you know, constant torture of Nebula, who in the 616 universe, you know, we all know Nebula from, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. She's known as Thanos' daughter, but for those who haven't read the book or even read the comics, period, Nebula in the 616 universe is actually Thanos' granddaughter. So why they changed that, I don't know, but didn't hurt a thing in the cinematic universe, so they went with it. But in this book, she literally was the most grotesque looking thing ever, because he brought her back to life, but brought her back with only an inch of breathing. Her actual whole body is torturously burned, and you know, she's just the most grotesque zombie-ish looking person ever. And you know, he has her living and breathing of an inch of her life just to torture her, and all this just to impress Mistress Death, which she's still not impressed after doing this whole thing. And he even made her explode. No, that was another, that was somebody else. But he put her through all types of torture, and that will come back to bite him later on. Right there. Spider-Man also, you know, when the moment when Thanos really figured out and Mephisto really informed him, you haven't fulfilled her request of killing off half of the universe to create the balance. And once he did that, he figured out, I was like, oh, is that all you want? Okay. He snapped his fingers, and that's when everything began. And that's when you knew, it was like, oh my God, and even Mephisto in the book, he was like, he's really going to do it. And I like when he did that, because it really created the anticipation for it and the fear of it as well, reading this book. And he snapped the fingers, and next thing you know, they went to New York, they panned to New York, and Spider-Man is swinging around, and he started noticing people were disappearing, and started noticing that, you know, it was just an epidemic of disappearances within New York. And then he thought of, out of the blue, oh crap, Mary Jane, and went right through it. Then all of a sudden, the Avengers was starting to disappear too, and other people, Hawkeye included, and it just became an epidemic of chaos going on there. So, you know, but it was just insanely, it was just very much insane, what was going on. The other big thing was later on, I think like issue 3 or 4, was when Thanos was finally, you know, where they finally confronted Thanos, and they felt that they were ready for Thanos after the fact that Adam Warlock, which another huge deal in this version of the Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah, Adam Warlock, you guys don't know, you didn't get a chance to see him, but you heard his name spoken at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 when, you know, they had him in a pod, and, you know, his sister spoke of the name Adam. That's Adam Warlock, who unfortunately will not be in the Infinity Wars movies. And we still don't understand why, but we'll figure it out soon enough. But he in this book was the main deal of this story. So we'll talk about that later on what's going to be and what's going to not be in this movie. But, you know, Adam Warlock was, in fact, the answer to this key here. So, you know, upon that, you know, they got to that point. But they, once they got Adam Warlock back and they dealt with, you know, they met up with him and, you know, they believed that he was the solution for it. Doctor Strange and Silver Surfer, we had to convince all the other people, like, we need to follow his lead. They decided to go to war with Thanos, and which was, like, one of the most memorable things ever in comics, because not only just he killed off people, it's how he killed off people. He had some of the most memorable fatalities ever in comics right here. His power was able to manipulate, you know, just reality and theory and whatever. Whatever he came up and conjured with, he did. For instance, he turned Wolverine. Yeah, Wolverine was in this too. Like I said, the X-Men was in this. Wolverine's bones, which we all know is adamantium, ended up being rubber. Cyclops died really bad. He put a square-like force field around his head, which gave him the inability to breathe and anything. So he died suffocating in this thing. It's horrible. He just basically dismembered Vision. You know, and at the time, this was the updated version of Vision where he was all white, not the red and green version, traditional version that we used to know and see in the comic books and now that we see in the movies. He changed, and it was the 90s, so they started changing up on things with the looks of certain comic book characters to fit the era and generation that it was. So, you know, he went all white. And I actually did like that version of him too, but he dismembered him completely. You know, Vision is able to phase, not with Thanos around. Thanos was like none of that, and he pretty much killed him there. He pretty much turned Thor into glass. Now, here's the thing: Thor was not Thor in this book. Something happened to Thor down the line where he almost died, and they needed somebody to help merge with him. So they found this guy, Eric Masterson, to merge with him in becoming Thor. So now Eric Masterson had the ability of Thor, and now later on he ended up becoming a character called Thunderstrike. And this is when, you know, this version of Thor had a beard and he had his face, you know, he had a face mask because he didn't want people to recognize that he wasn't Thor. But even though he sounded like him or whatever like that, he's had the same powers, the same abilities and everything. So, but they felt that they needed a Thunder God definitely there, and he was there for that. So, you know, eventually he actually, you know, he absolutely did that for it. So that was there, but he turned him into glass and smashed him. To that point there. What else happened here on my notes? Yeah, Nova was the funniest. Nova got turned into Legos, and he literally smashed them. He literally stepped on them and crushed them. That was just shade. That was just nasty shade right there. Captain America was probably, of course, you Captain America, if you're going to go out, you're going to go brave. But with that said, Thanos gave him the universal, the biggest bitch slap in the universe and killed him just by that. And right about the time when he was about to kill Captain, when Thanos was about to kill Captain America, lo and behold, in the back, Adam Warlock and Silver Surfer was waiting for the right time to sneak up on Thanos and take the gauntlet from his hand. And the fact that it didn't work caused Captain America to get like one more, you know, shot, you know, punch and shot at Thanos, knowing they wasn't going to do anything. And so Thanos just, you know, killed him concussively. It just, that was it for Captain America right there. You know, from that point, they, all of them were pretty much dead, but Mephisto and, even Mephisto at this point came in, and he went full Starscream. He actually went full Starscream on Thanos and tried to take the gauntlet himself along with Mistress of Death, because now they started to see all of the things that he was doing and made believe that he may take it to a level that they can't come back from. That's why Mistress Death never wanted him to have it in the first place. And Mephisto pretty much was just waiting for the right opportunity to get at him too. So eventually we knew that was going to happen sooner or later. But out of all this all the situations in this combat that was going on, and this battle royal, so to speak, that was going on, Nebula sneaks up out of the blue. The tortured Nebula sneaks up from out of the blue and manages to get the gauntlet, return to her normal state, and now she has possession of the gauntlet. And that was one of the surprising and shocking parts of this book. Nobody saw that coming, which now she has the possession of the gauntlet, leaving Thanos weak at the hands of her. For some reason, she decided that she reversed everything that Thanos did for the last 24 hours of the of him destroying everything. So everybody that originally was has disappeared has come back, Hawkeye included. So that's what happened right there. And then from that point on, she began to become overwhelmed with the power of the gauntlet, and that's what Thanos was afraid of, and all of them was afraid of that, because now that she has it, now what is she going to do next? And Thanos and probably the rest of them all thought that she couldn't handle the gauntlet by herself. She's not capable of having the mindset and capability of handling all those gems at once, so they had to figure out how to get it from her. And which means Thanos even teamed up with him at this point, which was funny because I think they were back at the Sanctum and he's just sitting and chilling in the chair after he did all that mess, and now he's like teaming up with him. So they all come back to try to come after Nebula, and she's struggling to get by, and all of a sudden Adam finally retrieves the Infinity Gauntlet. Adam, by the way, who actually lived within the Soul Gem himself. So he is a being from the Soul Gem, from within the Soul Gem. So he became the rightful owner of the Infinity Gauntlet at the end and retrieved it. Now, shortly after that, that was the end. All the heroes went back to their realities, and Thanos somehow ended up in a farm in another planet hiding away. And they just dealt with it. So what ends up happening after the entire book is over, Adam Warlock begins to have, they begin a new book in Marvel Comics, the aftermath of everything, and Adam Warlock's Infinity Watch, he was out, which was supposed to be a, big deal aftermath, and it did look like it was going to be something, and it didn't fall through all the way, unfortunately, but he gave the Infinity Gems to different, people that he felt that was suitable enough, and they became the new Infinity Watch, much like the people who Thanos killed in the first place. Gamora was one of them. Pip was another character. It was an elf-like character that, at the beginning of the book, it was just this, like, Danny DeVito-looking guy. And somehow, some way, they never explained how this happened, but these guys, there's three of them, they all turned into one. The guy turned into Pip, the other girl turned green. I don't know if she was becoming Gamora. And then the third guy, I think, became the Pod, which then became Adam Warlock. I don't know how or why that happened. Every time I've read this book, I always try to figure out what led into that, but I always miss out, and just maybe I need to check out Comics Exchange on YouTube and see if they actually figured it out there. See if he figured it out there, or explained for that matter. So yeah, that's the only thing. But that book never really kicked off as well as they wanted it to, but nonetheless, after that they had a year later they came out with Infinity Wars, or then after that they came out with another book, and they didn't really kick off because they were, like I said, they were going down the well too much. And that was that. But the initial Infinity Gauntlet book was tremendous. Really changed everything. It really made a big deal. I think Marvel Comics themselves made a ton of cash off of that book, and to this day it's been a heavy influence in a lot of things that's been worked on by Marvel, whether from animation or now the cinematic movies. And in our wildest dreams, first of all, in 2008 we never thought we would see a Iron Man comic book come to life in movie form. We thought that was going to be a one deal. Then they dangle the carrot that's called the Avengers Initiative. And we decided, okay, they're really going to try to pull this off. So what's going to happen? We're going to see all these other movies of these characters, and they're coming together. And we thought this was going to be the end of the game right there with the Avengers. No, they dangle another carrot to us, and they show Thanos, and then it sets off like, okay, this is the most risk-taking thing they've ever done, that anybody's ever done in Hollywood or in comics. This is a big deal because you need to have the budget to be able to pull this off. And we didn't know at the time how much of a budget Marvel Studios end up garnishing and grossing to do this thing. And we're actually seeing this come to life in such a way. And I can't believe that I am alive in this era to be able to enjoy this. I am so happy to be a fan of this right now. You don't understand. I grew up with this, I enjoyed this, and now I get to see it come to life and be appreciated in modern society, you know, as a big deal with major characters, with Oscar-winning characters. You know, like I said, I always said this, in the 80s or the 70s, whatever like this, the idea of a comic book movie, especially one done by a well-respected actor or actress, was never heard of. They were too afraid to even take that risk. Now, with the right technology, with the right budget, we're seeing everybody doing it, and they see that they could do it in a way that it could still bring quality and, you know, acceptance to the Oscars and the committee and, you know, stuff like that. So this is an amazing time to be a fan. I'm so happy to be a fan of all this right now. I'm telling you, man, it's absolutely great. Now, last thing we're going to do is cover some things that I've read here as reading this book that I truly believe we will not see in this book. Let's start with the Thanos infatuation with Mistress or Lady Death. We've never seen Mistress Death at all on this platform or on the Marvel Cinematic Universe at all. So the fact that they haven't even shown her throughout any of the movies that they have done, even with Guardians of the Galaxy where they show Thanos, or, you know, even with Avengers when they show Thanos, or any of those, you never saw Mistress Death in there at all. So that right there tells us that this is not going to be based, his ambition to get the gauntlet is not going to be based on what he did. And granted, I could be wrong to some extent. They could add that in just a little bit. They absolutely could add that in, somewhat of a backstory within Infinity Wars to explain why he's been looking for these gems for all this time. So, because I do believe the premise of the Infinity Wars is that he is trying to destroy half of the universe. So it is a possibility that Mistress Death could be in there. But I look, from what I'm seeing right now, from what other people see, it's not. I don't think that's going to be a factor with that. So Mephisto, again, not making an appearance. And again, we talked about this, I'm a little disappointed at that, but it's here nor there. Whatever. From there. Eric, again, we will not be seeing Eric Masterson, aka Thor, aka now Thunderstrike, or I don't know if he's still Thunderstrike now, whatever like that, but he was the character that took over for Thor and then eventually became his own hero after that. So he will not be in there because the original Thor is going to be here. Now they mixed the King Thor saga into this as well. So it's the Marvel Cinematic Universe is a mixture of the 616 and other universes combined to make their own universe. Marvel Studios kind of did what Bruce Lee did. He couldn't do. Mixed a bunch of different philosophies and arts and combined them together. Took the ins and outs of it to create its own, you know, form of it as well. So Eric Masterson is somebody we will not be seeing on here. I don't even think we'll even get an Easter egg mention of him on this thing. The appearance of Silver Surfer or the X-Men, totally due because of the Fox situation. Not now, before. That was the whole kick. X-Men was a big deal in his book to some extent, but Silver Surfer was also a bigger deal to this extent, and both of them were owned by Fox, so we will not see them on there. Not at least, we won't see them in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but not until like after 2020, pretty much. So that's going to be opted out immediately. I don't even know how they're going to even do what they're going to do, but it looks like they solved that problem already, you know, with the rewrites. Pip and the other Infinity Watch members, except Gamora, will not be seen most likely. The whole story of how Pip became probably won't even be seen. Adam Warlock especially will not be seen because he's going to be featured in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. That's what they're going to be focusing on. So he's not even going to be included in the Infinity Wars at all. Only Gamora is the only person. Gamora and Drax are the only two characters from the original Infinity Watch that will be in Infinity Wars. So, and they will not, I'd be surprised if they have any possession of the gems at all in there. So, you got that going on. Maybe we'll see a Celestial Gods or two. I mean, we did get to see Ego, which he got destroyed. So, they do exist. There was a mention of Eternity and Doctor Strange. So, there's a possibility that we may see the Celestial beings in this war. I'm not sure, it's not guaranteed, but what we won't see is Galactus, because again, he's mixed with the Fox universe, and they probably won't add him on until after the fact of everything ending from this point on, and then we'll get the Fantastic Four as well, and Doctor Doom and all the stuff. Speaking of Doctor Doom, he will absolutely not be a part of this at all, and he was a major deal in this too, because he had his own plots and plans in the original book to try to get the Infinity Gauntlet for himself. He would even team up with the heroes just to get the opportunity to try to slide in and get his hands on the gauntlet himself. And they knew this. They were aware of this. And yet he still tried to go after it regardless. That's how badass he is, to be honest. He knows this, they knows this, but he's like, we'll see. We'll get in. Another thing that we won't see, an intelligent Hulk. Now, during this time, there was a transition and a transformation of the Incredible Hulk. There was the Gray Hulk, which was somewhat the more intelligent Hulk, and then was the traditional Green Hulk, which was Bruce Banner and himself. This other Green Hulk was kind of like the Red Hulk, was like Thunderbolt Ross Hulk, in a sense. He was a smart mouth dude, he didn't give a crap, he was everything, you know, the other the Banner Hulk wasn't. So there was a little time where they started to create this new version of a Hulk in Marvel Comics during the 90s, where they somehow merged both the Green Hulk and the Gray Hulk with Bruce Banner to create this Ultimate Hulk, which is the personalities of both, but now this new version is more civilized, he's more articulate, you know, he's even bigger for that matter. And he wore clothes too. That was the other funny thing about him. They somehow managed to find fashion wear for him in this case. So they that's what happened with him. But we will not be seeing that version of the Hulk on this one, guaranteed here. So don't even think about that. If anybody's a Quasar fan out there, you're going to be out of luck, because we've never heard of the name him or Epoch in this at all. So, if for those who don't know, Quasar was just another cosmic being in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but I would argue that he was at least second, even third tier of cosmic characters in that universe. So, don't expect to see him anywhere near that at all. Damn if we even see Nova in there. You know, not the Nova Corps, but actual Nova. Nova was actually, for those who don't know, the Nova Corps from the Guardians movies are actually based on the character Nova, which there is now a Nova Corps of them, but these guys didn't have spaceships. They were more like Green Lantern, where they had their own powers, and it was like kind of governed by their helmets, and they were able to fly around and stuff. And if most comic book fans and gamers know, because they played him many a times on Marvel versus Capcom games, so they know exactly what I'm talking about here. But none of those guys will be in there as well, so I'm looking very much forward to seeing how much of Source, which I honestly, judging by what I've read and what we're about to see, my educated guess here is that we'll probably see like 25% or maybe 30% of Source material from the actual book. I will be very surprised if we see that much, because it looks like they're going a whole new different road. Mephisto is not going to be there, and in his place is going to be his dark henchmen, which I forgot they were called because I stopped reading Marvel after a certain point. But he gathered a group of his own, sort of like Apocalypse and a Four Horsemen of Apocalypse and stuff like that. But he managed to gather his own group. One of them is very familiar with Doctor Strange, from what I understand. And so we're going to, you know, like I said, it's, you know, it's an amalgam of different eras of Marvel that is created to create the Marvel Cinematic Universe here. You know, much like we said with Spider-Man Homecoming, where they gathered the Ultimate Spider-Man, the Miles Morales Spider-Man, and the 616 Spider-Man all in one in this movie here. So that was a big deal right there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what, nonetheless, I have no doubt that they will be a really big deal. And this will be an epic movie. I mean, who is going to survive? That is the question. I posted something on our ACMG Facebook group page that said, be honest, you're afraid of what's going to happen on April 27th. Elena, who will survive Thanos? And that's going to be the big question. Honestly, we kind of know that Spider-Man and Black Panther are going to come out of this. The question goes with the Iron Mans, the Captain Americas, the Thors, the Visions. Who is going to survive out of this? That's going to be the question here. And this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so this is like not by the book. This is by their own rules. We don't know, and I'm looking forward to find out. So, ladies and gentlemen, I wish you the best, and I hope you will enjoy this episode as well as this weekend, because this is it. We're finally made it to this destination. I can't wait. This Sunday, we will be having a review of the actual movie itself. Myself, Michael Burhan from the UK, he's coming back on the show to talk about it. He will be seeing it too. I believe Megan Walsh did agree and say that she was coming back in, so we're gonna have her as well. Who knows, who else knows what will be on the show, but it's absolutely going to be absolutely awesome here, and I'm looking very much forward to this. So we'll have that as well. Select Start will be back this week as well. Trust me, I'm doing a lot of work this week. Select Start will be back this week, so we'll be doing that show as well. And we'll be talking about God of War, some other games, maybe South Park, if I can get in a little bit of gameplay with that one. We'll be talking about that as well. And then from there, and then Naruto as well, that will be coming out this week. So definitely we'll be talking about that. And then a special exclusive episode of Talk Time Live this week. A new interview will be coming. I've spoke about this before. The hip-hop nerdcore artist, also known as None Like Joshua. If you've seen the video footage that I had on acmgwarpzone.com from the Mega Ran performance, this dude is absolutely awesome. I can't wait to have him on the show. His rap style is just nothing short of lethal. And if you are fans of Dragon Ball Super, if you're fans of Naruto, if you're fans of My Hero Academia, you definitely want to check this guy out. You want to stay tuned for this guy. He is amazing. And we're going to talk about him, his fandom, his rap style, all that stuff, his influence. We're going to get down on all that. So that will probably be like Friday. So you'll have something to check out Friday. You know, probably Friday morning. If you're a wrestling fan, you know the greatest Royal Rumble is coming at 12 noon, which a lot of you guys will probably be at work. So for those who will not be able to get in the screen time to watch that and you're at work, hey, check out us here, because we'll have an interview for you to talk about. And then you guys get ready for Infinity Wars. I'm looking forward to it. We're all looking forward to it. So no stopping of anything fandom wise here at ACMG. So ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for now. Thank you so much for taking the time to check us out. Please do check us out here on acmgwarpzone.com. Check us out on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play. Maybe more coming soon that we're working on as well. But definitely, and Libsyn as well. Definitely check us out there. And please keep supporting us. Keep going. Keep us growing. And tell everybody about it. And man, thank you guys so much for the support. Please, definitely. And again, Mega Ran will be down the line, coming down the line too, as well as a former previous guest, a big one coming down the line this summer that we already got locked down. So stay tuned for all that and much more. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dax Xavier Josiah saying learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. I'm out here. I'll see you on the next episode of Select Start. Take care. This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.